begin our today, what tomorrow will bring, if sandals or sunshine or rain. And Lord, I know rule over everything, and all of my worries in vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Oh, hello. When the storm clouds arise, oh, alarmed at the overcast skies, and blue. Oh yes, I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm saved, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm.
Hallelujah.
I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evil betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow? Oh, if Jesus walks
by side.
Oh, are you living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love? From all I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Oh, last verse, our Lord, you'll return to this earth some sweet day. Our trial then be over. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond.
Hallelujah.
Oh, are you living by faith in Jesus above? In Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm safe in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
Hallelujah. May God bless you this morning, saints. It's a wonderful thing to be in the house of the Lord. I would like to thank the Lord for bringing me back home safely yesterday. Got in around midnight at home and went to sleep. Got 7 hours of sleep, so I'm fresh this morning. Yeah, thank you so much for your prayers. They keep us safe when we travel, and we do travel a lot. And many times when people return from places like Israel, they are excited and, you know, sharing this and that, but my heart is very heavy. Ah, may God help us and have mercy on us, because this week I found myself praying so much against the sins that are committed in the city, more so the holy city. It just did something to me. It really disturbed me to see the things that happened there. You know, I couldn't believe it. But what can you do? We need the Lord Jesus Christ to come and fix this whole thing. I mean, when you see men with men doing evil things in the public, I'm telling you, saints, it's Sodom and Gomorrah again, you know. And the Lord has to burn it with fire. I mean, I'm really telling what I saw with my very own eyes. Men and men performing wicked things in public. Now, when you see the world coming to a state like that, surely there can't be much more time. I would like to invite you to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, I would like to read from verse number 15. Again, this is Paul writing to the church in the Hebrew church, and we have run away from the letter that he wrote to Timothy just this week to bring this in, and then we will finish it next week. So from verse number 15, Paul writes, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Glory. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these few verses that we have read. We pray, Lord, that you help us to look, Lord, into what Paul was writing to us, Lord. For we believe it wasn't Paul, but it was the Holy Spirit itself that was writing a message to us, Lord. You knew that we would be here and that we would need this word, Lord, for we see the condition of the world and what it has come to. Father, we just pray that you help us. And that, Lord, you would grant us grace, Lord, to live by your word, for there is nothing else in this world that can withstand the onslaught of the enemy besides thy word. So we ask this morning, Lord, that you grant us grace to look into your word, that it may help us and fortify us. For your glory we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated, saints. So Paul is writing that the Holy Spirit is a witness to us, and that there is a new covenant that has been written between man and God. And this covenant, said the Lord, is that I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And before this, the law was written on tablets. Moses had to go up the mountain, receive the laws of the Lord. They were written on tablets. They were brought down. The priests would read them to the people every time they go to the synagogue. But God had a new covenant that he wrote with his people. And he said, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So no more do we have to wait to go to church on a Sunday, and then the priest would come and read the 600 something laws of God. But God has put in each and every one of us his laws. And in our minds. And every one of us that is born again, there's something in us that guides us, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will send you the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth. So this is a great thing, and it is also a great responsibility, because if God has given you something, he's not going to do that in vain. He wants you to do something about it. It's not just about, yeah, he has written his laws in my heart. There's also a responsibility that comes with that. Because to whom much is given, much is also expected. You know? So let's read on a little bit in this place that we just read. From verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart.
Amen.
In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So you remember when we started to speak about Paul, we did speak about a pure heart, that there is no way you are going to walk this Christian walk without a pure heart. You are going to make a shipwreck. And so it's a prerequisite that your heart has to be pure to walk this Christian walk and achieve what it is that God wants you to achieve with his word. And there we find Paul speaking again, that let us draw near with a pure heart. A pure heart is a heart that doesn't have preconceived ideas. It's a heart that is willing to learn. That when something is presented before you from the word of God, and you show me here where it says, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I should have purity in my heart to accept that. Even though intellectually I had been taught to accept something else, the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but when it is revealed to me in the word, I should have a pure heart enough to take away my intellectual understanding and accept what God has revealed to me. That's a pure heart. But when you have other motives and ideas, and maybe you are looking at the person presenting the word to you, and maybe you don't like the accent or something about them, then you don't receive it. That's not a pure heart. But we must come with a pure heart when the word of God is presented unto us. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So Paul is speaking something important here, that let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We have a faith and we profess to be Christians. So we must hold that fast and live our lives like we were Christians. And live our lives like Christians. And one of the things that Paul is saying here is to consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. And if you look at that verse there, 24, it doesn't end with a full stop. It ends with a colon. Meaning that the good works and this provocation unto love that Paul is speaking about is what's going to be mentioned in the next verse. These two are connected together. And of all the things that we could provoke one another unto, and all the good works that we can provoke one another unto, Paul chose to mention in verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now we must approach this with a pure heart. If the word can show you today that it is beneficial for you to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, then put away your ideas and live according to this. Because this is the highest will of God for men, is to live according to the word of God, is to fulfill your calling in Christ by becoming a written epistle that when people look at you, they see scripture. I'm telling you, saints, when you profess to be a Christian, but then you don't live like a Christian, there is no higher stumbling block than that. You are setting your neighbors for failure. You are setting your family for failure. Because your children look at you. They come here and listen. They know what is preached. But they can see that mommy and daddy make exceptions at home. They don't live according to A, B, C, even though they follow D, E, and F. There, right there, you have planted a seed you will reap one day. So, Paul is saying, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And it's very important. What is to forsake? What is to forsake, Olivier? Huh? To just forsake something. Is to just take it for granted, to leave it alone.
Yes, sir.
Just like a man who forsakes his garden. You have a garden at home, you don't look after it, you just forsake it. That's what people do with coming to church.
Yes,
They just forsake it. They know that there is a Friday prayer meeting, but they just forsake it. It doesn't even cross their mind that I should be somewhere. But if we refer back to the verse that we read, the Holy Spirit also is a witness unto us that I will put my laws into their hearts. So if God has put the laws into your heart, but you don't feel like I should be at church on a Friday night, then I think you should question yourself whether God has put his laws in your heart or not. Because if he has put his laws in your heart, whenever these doors open to say there's church, whenever the Zoom link opens to say there's a Bible study, it must do something to you.
Amen.
I mean, that's being honest, yeah? It has to. If it doesn't do anything to you, you need to be honest with yourself. Because what's the point of it? To carry on and go along with something that is not according to the word of God. You have to cross the River Jordan one day. And you are going to need the captain on that day. You don't want to face the crisis of life without Christ. I am telling you, saints, life can change like this in an instant. I know that. I know that. I was only here on a Sunday in church. And the following morning, I went to the clinic for them to look in my stomach and my intestines ruptured. And the doctor's looking at me there saying, we have to operate you. You could be dead in 5 minutes. And we have to put a stoma back. Where do you go? I mean, who do you call then? You can't call your wife. What can she do? You can't call your mother or father. There's only one person you can call, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have him, it's a wonderful thing, saints, to face crisis in life with the Lord. But when the laws that he has put in your heart do not even convict you when you do something that is contrary to them, you've got to question your experience with the Lord. Because there's something wrong there. It just doesn't match that a person could just be comfortable where they are when the saints are here having prayer meeting. It's not possible as a Christian. There's no way it can be possible.
Never.
That you are just at home, relaxed, doing your other things. I was away Friday night. And I was looking on the Zoom there. I joined the meeting and, you know, it was just the usual number of people. And I thought, well, my people are really under pressure. They can't come to church, you know. Maybe they don't have money for fuel. But on Zoom, there was just two other people joined. I was like, whoa, well, maybe people don't like Zoom so much. Maybe they're on YouTube. So I went and also looked on YouTube. There was five people, including the computer and the one that I was using. So there were really three other people. And I was like, wow, where is everybody? I mean, how can that be possible? That it's prayer meeting and you don't feel it in your heart to come to prayer meeting. And you don't feel it to join from wherever you are. And I doubt if people go and look after 2 days later and say, I missed the prayer meeting, let me play it on YouTube. They don't. I mean, we have now computers here. We can see how many times a video has been watched. it's so disappointing, but what can you do? So, do not forsake the assembling of one another. Just to forsake it, to leave it as if it's not there, to just ignore it. You can't do that as a child of God. You might ask me, where is it written in Scripture, Brother Wilmore, that I should come to church Friday night?
Yeah.
Or I should attend Bible study on Wednesday night, or come to church Sunday? Yeah, Sunday, we have to come to church, you know. And that's, we might laugh at it, but that's what people's attitude are, almost, you know. Well, where was it written in Scripture that Ananias and Sapphira must sell all they have and give to the prophet, to the apostles? It wasn't written, yeah? But that's what the local congregation had agreed.
Amen.
And they didn't live up to that standard, and they were carried out the church dead. And the prophet says the days of Ananias and Sapphira will return again.
Amen.
That's what it is. We agree here as a congregation, let's meet on Friday night. Let's have Bible study. Let's come to church on Sunday. And, well, you just forsake it. As the manner of Samis. Manner. In my language, we say mighty Rahu. That's just the way they do it. What is manner? What is manner, I have it written here somewhere. You know, I want to give you this correctly. It's a choice-based action. You are actually making a choice to do something. That's what people do. They are making a conscious choice that I'm not going to church today. In fact, people have made a choice that I'll never go to church on a Friday night. Now, that's not a pure heart, because we are showing from Scripture here that you should not forsake the assembling of one another, especially as we see the days approaching. I just returned from Israel there. And in the very Holy Land, I seen people doing inconvenient things with one another in the streets. How much closer can we be to the coming of the Lord besides that? I mean, it has to happen one of these days. But then we are still trying to exhort people to come to church. I mean, you should come to church, and when Brother Clayton comes with the keys, yeah, by the time he arrives, there should be people waiting here. It used to happen in the days of the prophet. People would come the previous night to wait at the church. And what has happened ever since that time? Where has the love for the word of God, for the assembling of the saints, gone to? I was just listening for the last few months, the messages that the prophet preached in 1963. 95 messages that he preached. There are only 52 Sundays in a month. It means he was in church every one of those Sundays. And every one of the Friday nights, because in some of the messages he says, I just listened to what Brother Neville was preaching. So he was there in church, our example that we can look at today. Not only him, but we can look at Paul that we have been looking at. In the book of Acts chapter 17, if we can read that quickly. From verse number 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, 3 Sabbath days reasoning with them out of the scriptures. So this was Paul's manner. Angari my dragi. That's what he used to do, is to go to church. Paul is not asking you to do something that he didn't do himself. And Paul knew why it is important to go to church. It's very important to go to church. Why is it important? Who remembers Jonah? He said, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. When you observe these lying vanities, to say I'm not going to church because whatever else you put there is a lying vanity, you are observing that, you are going to forsake your own mercy. Because God, you can't force God to work outside of his will. He might give you his permissive will, but God has a perfect will for every single thing. You don't have to go cracking your head to find what is God's perfect will. He wants you to be at the post of duty. God wants you to sit where you are sitting so the preacher can preach the word. That's God's perfect will for you. And when you are sitting there and listening to the word, strongholds of the enemy are being broken down on your behalf. God has made a provision today in the preaching of the word to break the spirit of poverty over your life while you are sitting there. Because you can go for many years, yeah, working there, working and working and never getting anywhere. That's a spirit of poverty. Yeah? And it will follow you and it will cause you to take over time. It will cause you to do bad deals, this and that and that. Because you are trying to make things work. But you are forsaking the assembling of the saints. That's God's provided way for you. He wants you to come and sit here and listen to the word of God. Because as the word of God is being preached, demons are being scattered. Our warfare is not a carnal warfare, where you come to church on a Friday and you go out and you say, well, that was a waste of time. I wish I had stayed home. I could have done something else better. Because you were expecting to walk out there and see demons dead, you know, and this and that brought down by the enemy. No, it doesn't work like that. But you might think that you have done nothing. You have wasted your money on fuel. You have wasted your time by coming to church. But something has been done when you come to church. There's something about coming to church with the right attitude, with a pure heart, standing there on your post of duty, singing these simple old songs. It does something. I know it for a fact. The more I come to church, when whatever trouble I have, I come to church and I'm singing and I'm in the spirit, it renews my soul. That's what your soul feeds on. But you are starving your soul by not coming to church. You can say, well, I will stay at home and listen to the tapes, and that is good, and you must do that. But again, you cannot run away from the word of God. God has given the fivefold ministry for your perfecting. How are you going to be perfect without that? It's not possible to work outside of God's word. That's just simple God's word. So how are you going to do it at home? You know? As the manner of some is. That's just what people choose to do. They choose to not come to church. But I'll tell you something about choice. Do you know, nobody has the power to give anything or anybody the ability to make a choice besides God himself. We can create many things in this world. We can create rockets that go into space and land on the moon and hop over and come back again. But we can never be able to give that rocket the ability to make its own choice. Only God can. And God did that. He gave you a divine ability. You don't understand how divine it is to be able to make a choice. Just to choose something, a simple act of choosing. That's serious, serious power that God has given you. And not only has he given you power, because we can make computers make a choice. We tell a computer, when this happens and that happens, do that. God doesn't do that. God gives you that ability and he won't force you to make any choice. Or he won't tell you when this happens and that happens, do that. He just gives you that ability. And the most pleasing thing to God, when you can take that ability to make a choice and make a choice to give up your own choice. Say, Lord, I'm giving up my choice so that I can do your will. There's nothing pleasing. Today I am thinking of my daughter Hadassah. She's not here. She's gone for these competitions. She's representing Kildare in the writing competitions, you know. She's a very good writer. You know, when she writes, it's like she has printed it from a computer. So she's there at the All Ireland competitions. But there's something about that child that pleases me. You know? And when I think of her, wherever I am, it brings a smile on my face. Because she pleases me. And I'm only a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of what God is really. Imagine God sitting where he is sitting today and he thinks of you, Brother Emil, and he just smiles. And he says, that's a good son. Wouldn't you want that? How can we come to a place like that, saints? By living the word of God, being written epistles, read of all men in every aspect of God's word. And that is one of them. Forsake not the assembling of one another. Because right in there is power to chase out demons. Power to break the strongholds of the enemy. Power to position you into what God wants you to be placed at. You know, the devil fights all that he can to keep you from your God-given position. Remember when Daniel was praying, 21 days the angel was retained of the evil demons. They wouldn't want to let him go with the answer. Did Daniel then say, well, I'm going to forsake prayer? But the more he prayed, the more God sent reinforcements. Say, amen. Go until Daniel gets the answer. But what happens? Well, Sunday again. We don't have to go to church and be in the song service. We'll just come just when the minister is about to preach. Is that a pure heart? It's not. Yeah, we'll just miss Sunday school and we'll miss song service. We'll just go there just when the preacher is preaching, and then maybe your answer, your solution to your problems was in the song service. Because God does that many times. The song leader gets up here and is anointed of the Lord and he just starts playing a song. I'm living by faith. And if you had come with the right attitude, tears fall down your eyes. Because God would have done something through music. God does things. Through the preaching of the word, God does things. But when we forsake all these things, we are forsaking our own mercy.
Amen.
It's too bad, saints. But we've got to come to a place of perfection one day. And by God's grace, we will.
Glory.
Even though he might have to bring a bit of a squeeze.
Amen.
But may God help us. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your grace that you have found for us, Lord, to be here in the house of the Lord. Father, us that are here, Lord, and we compare with those that are not here, Father, we are not better than them, Lord. Oh God, it could be us next week missing here. But we just thank you for your grace that has allowed us to be here. And we pray for the saints, Lord, that are not here. Father, that you would be with them and help them also, Lord. Father, for we must live according to thy word in every aspect. We pray, Father, you grant us grace, Lord, not to forsake the assembling of one another. But Lord, oh God, to be, oh Father, like them people that always went to church, even in the face of persecution. Lord, help us, Father, in this day where life is so simple, so easygoing, that we should not forsake the assembling of one another, but that, Lord, with a pure heart, we must run to the church whenever the doors open, Lord. Please grant us this grace. Bless, Lord, Father, the song service that we are going into. I pray, Lord, for the saints gathering in Carlo. We commit them into your hands. Bless them with thy presence this morning. Lord, we pray for our brother Eli that you would come also, Lord, and use him mightily this morning to minister unto thy people. We are expecting to hear from you, Lord. May you speak unto our hearts this morning. For nothing else, Lord, would satisfy us but to hear thy word. We ask it for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.